This is the Student Leadership News Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Student Leadership News Podcast. My name is Jared and I'm here with Kira, and we are bringing you episode 122 of the podcast.
Yeah, we are.
And Kira, what is the title of today's podcast?
The title of today's podcast is Working with Last Year's Legacy.
Ooh, legacy. Mm. That's a big word.
It is a big word.
Yep.
Yep.
And I'm sure that many student leaders are listening to this podcast, right? And they've just been elected, they're school captain, vice captain, maybe they're house captains, maybe they don't have a role, but they're just stepping up into any leadership capacity. And they're going, there's a lot to live up to. Maybe there's some school traditions that are running. Maybe there is sort of a legacy that has been happening at their school. And they're going, what do we do? Do we do those events that have been running for many years? Do we sort of go our own way, like the Ford ad? Or how do we approach these things?
Yeah.
So that this podcast is all focused about that. How do you attack this year? How do you maybe think about keeping the things that have been running for many years and changing things as a fresh leader for 2026?
Yeah, and I remember when I first started my leadership journey, we kind of got to the start of the year, we got our leadership roles or whatever it was, and our first meeting comes around and we're just kind of like, all right, so like, what do we do? Like, first meeting, no one tells us what to do. Like, the teachers kind of back off a little bit in your senior years of high school or primary school, and you kind of are just left on your own to sort it out for yourself. And it's kind of just like, what do I do?
Yeah.
So hopefully this episode will give you a nice little roadmap of where you can start.
Exactly. And the freedom to choose is the beautiful thing about leadership.
Yeah.
The fact that as a student leader, you get teachers trusting you enough to decide, okay, maybe how are we going to approach this? But we want you to feel confident approaching this year in knowing what to go forward with and how you can keep legacies at your school going.
100%.
And so we're going to start with a little game.
Nice.
And this is a unique one. Kira came up with this one.
Yeah, I did.
I don't know how hard this is going to be, but I kind of like the idea of it. How it goes, and correct me if I get this wrong, but each one of us has to passionately defend keeping an absolutely ridiculous school tradition for 30 seconds.
Yep. So we've got to pretend that we're at school and that's a tradition that's already at our school, and we've got to defend why we have to keep this tradition.
Okay. And we've got to convince the other person why we should keep it going.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I reckon this will be fun.
All right.
I'm keen.
Should I get a 30 second timer?
Yeah, you probably should, hey.
All right, Kira, okay. I think you should go first.
You want me to describe?
Yes, defend. You came up with this game and I'm feeling
to be fair,
nervous.
I'll preface, I haven't actually come up with an answer or anything. Like, I did write the scenarios, but I have not even thought about what
you
I'm
haven't thought
say.
About it.
No.
Okay.
So I'm just as clueless as you. Perfect.
Happy days.
Okay. Right. Are we ready? So,
first scenario.
My first scenario is an annual fun run in winter at 6 a.m. in the morning.
Try and convince your school buddy to do that.
So I've got to try and convince the school leadership team
of
why we need to keep doing
okay,
this.
Okay, I'll hold the timer.
Okay, great.
Here we go.
So I've got 30 seconds,
30 seconds.
Okay.
Your time starts now.
Honestly, like, we really need to keep doing this fun run. I know it's in winter, but like, it's just so refreshing when you're getting up at 6 a.m. in the morning and like, just get up and at them. Like, you win the morning, you win the day. I just think it's such a great way to start your day, especially when it's like pitch black and you can kind of just like, when the sun comes up, you're like, oh my gosh, I've already completed a run. Like, how good is that? It just makes everyone feel so alive. And like, then you've done your daily exercise for the day. You don't have to worry about it for the rest of the day.
Time is up.
How good was that?
Oh man, I felt like you were like my mom lecturing me that I haven't cleaned my room.
I'm so glad it felt like that.
I'm terrified.
That's the vibe I was going for.
Nobody on the podcast can see my face, but I was physically cringing.
Yeah, he was actually cringing.
Like, couldn't look at her in the eyes.
I feel like I was like that overbearing like person in school that was like, no, guys, we have to do this.
I'm going to be so real, Kira.
I didn't mean to be so like intense, but it came across that way. So yeah. That's what you got.
Yeah, you did not convince me. I think that is a big fail in my opinion.
You'd be the first person to get up at 6 a.m. in winter and do a run.
Yeah, honestly. Let's be real. You should have pitched it that way. I'd run with many people, but I don't think I'd run with the Kira that just came out then.
Why not? It'd be so much fun. It sounds good, a fun run.
Wow, so fun. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Okay, what is my scenario?
Your scenario is mandatory matching hot pink tracksuits for all student leaders.
So like pants and shirt?
Yes.
Mandatory.
Hot pink. Everyone has to wear them.
How frequently in the week are we wearing these?
Like every day.
Every single day. That's the uniform.
It's your uniform.
Sounds epic.
You're a leader. Like you have to wear the hot pink tracksuit.
This is tough to pitch.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
Great. Your time starts now.
Hey guys, so you know how for years it has been famous that the year 12s get to wear pink tracksuits. I think we need to keep it going. I think we should get an art competition to people to custom design the pink tracksuits. And our year, you know, so many other schools, they have their senior jackets and their lame senior jackets just going with the crowd. But for us, we're known as the pink tracksuit grade 12. Cool. So we're going to make it our own. We're going to have a theme for it. We're going to have a slogan. And the whole school is going to love us walking around in our hot pink tracksuits.
Oh, that's time up. Sorry. I was so enthralled by that I didn't even look at the timer.
Did I convince you?
Wow. Low-key, we should all get hot pink matching tracksuits for the office.
For the podcast. That's what we'll wear when we record podcasts.
Yeah, that's how I feel after that.
Wow.
That was great.
Okay, I'm happy I pitched it.
Yeah, I feel like mine was quite
I mean, it's
shocking compared to that. You really came at it from like a really nice, like calm approach. And I could almost see why you would wear a matching hot pink tracksuit when you were convincing me.
I think that's a separate podcast, but I think that's how you should pitch an idea. I don't know what you were like in your student leadership journey.
That was me in high school. Just like, guys, we have to do this. Guys, it's going to be so much fun.
Hey, the enthusiasm is good.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Wow, okay. Well, that was fun. But I think what we saw from that game is we saw us trying to fumble our way through actually pitching things that have been running for many years. Mm. And so there may be student leaders listening to this podcast and maybe their school traditions aren't as crazy as hot pink tracksuits.
Yeah.
I mean, that is pretty epic. And if there's a school that has hot pink tracksuits, they've got to hit up the Student Leaders News email, send us some photos because that would be awesome. But when we're thinking about these traditions, we have to think, okay, this has been running for many years. Do we keep it that way? Or maybe for the tracksuits, maybe it's, okay, we can make it a different color for our year. Or how can we change this to make it our own but keep that tradition going? Or is it worthwhile keeping it going at all? Should we do something different? But we have a few different steps to navigating working with last year's legacy and moving forward. Kira, start us off with step one.
So step number one is to understand. That's good. If you've got kind of like the legacies that were left behind and the traditions that maybe your school's done for years, I think it's really important to start with actually understanding what worked in the past years and how, and evaluate what's actually worth keeping. Because I don't know about your school, Jared, but my school specifically had like so many traditions in place, but it was almost just such a like automated thing that the leaders would just do it the same every single year.
Yeah, wow.
So we actually didn't sit down and go, oh, what worked last year and what didn't work last year? We just kind of kept the tradition going because that's just what happens.
Yes.
So I think firstly, it's really important to understand what worked and then you can actually evaluate what's worth keeping and what's not. So you can begin by asking questions. So talking to previous leaders is always a great start, even asking the teachers what they think works really well, what traditions they think are worth keeping, and asking why things were done in a certain way as well.
Yeah.
So it's really about understanding the purpose behind the programs because it just helps you make a much smarter decision about what to continue. So some examples of the questions that you might ask past leaders or teachers, First one is, did people actually engage?
It's a good one.
Were people actually at the events? Were they happy to participate? Were they enthusiastic about them? Were they actually engaged?
Yeah.
Second question would be, what are students, staff, and your team saying about it?
Yeah.
Because these traditions can run, but it doesn't mean that everyone is happy to be there or that people like doing those things. Third question, will the time and energy be worth the outcome? I like this one. So, for what you're getting out of the events, is it worth the energy and the time that you're putting into organizing and setting up and getting the resources, all that type of thing? Fourth question, does it still fit with what your school needs right now?
That's a great question.
Great question. If you're still keeping traditions running from like something that started like 20 years ago and it's just completely outdated, no wonder there's people that are like, oh, this, what are we doing this for? Like, and you probably find students aren't engaged.
Yeah.
So it's important to make sure that these things are still relevant. So there's some of the questions that you might ask to decide whether a program or an event or a tradition is worth keeping.
Yeah, that's good. I think I'll add to that. I think when you mentioned the one from 20 years ago, maybe that, because it's got a 20-year reputation, is one that, okay, it's clearly had 20 years of engagement. But when I think back to my leadership journey, I remember a lot of people just copied last year's leaders because it's the easiest way. And so when we were leaders, there was a teachers versus students soccer game that was done. I think it was done the year before. And to be honest, there was like no engagement in the last year.
Yeah.
But I was in a team meeting and someone brought it up that we do it. And we kind of had to be like, as a leadership team, okay, can we work with this idea? Because realistically, last year it didn't work.
Yeah.
So we're going to put our time and energy into it. And if we are, how do we change it so that it's better? So.
And you're also like, don't forget that you have been a student at that school for many years. Well, you know, at least a few years. And you also have a feeling about what works and what doesn't. You've been maybe a part of some of these traditions as well. Like you kind of know what sucks and what doesn't, you know, you've got a little bit of an idea. So trust that as well. But of course, ask other students, ask other teachers, get like a whole collective opinion.
It's really good.
But there are some red and green flags that you can look out for. So the green flags would be high participation and attendance, positive buzz and genuine excitement. And people asking, are we doing this again next year?
Yes.
That's a great sign. Some red flags might be low engagement, you know, no participation, like no one's rocking up. No one cares. Maybe they're there, but they don't care.
Yeah.
Complaints or complete silence.
Yes.
Crickets. and maybe it feels outdated or disconnected from your current needs. There's some of the red flags that you might notice about some of these traditions or events.
That's good. Yep. And like you said before, if you've been at the school for many years, you'll have known the chatter of people.
Definitely.
And if everyone every year complains about it, you'll know, okay. And even if you haven't been at that school for many years, ask students who have been.
Yeah.
Like, that's why you've got a student body and you can get a sense for whether that, and understand whether there's that engagement.
Yeah.
That's really good. Step number two is to keep the good stuff. And so once you've used that first step of understanding it, really asking lots of people, then go and think about what should we keep to make this really good and what should we just put to the side because we know it won't work. And so keep what serves your community. As a student leader, you shouldn't be just doing stuff that's, like we've talked about before on the podcast, that's just fun for the sake of fun, but it really isn't impacting your school community at all. You're not actually making a difference. You're not positively impacting your school. You want to do things that serve your community and things that your school really needs. And so think, does the program, does the event actually create real connection and impact?
And the thing is, like, because it's a tradition, it might have actually already met the needs of the school. So continuing it for another year might almost be a bit silly. So there's some traditions that you're like, oh, well, we kind of solved that last year. Like, why would we keep doing it? So it's really important to make sure that's still a current need of the school.
That's good. That's good. And a good thing to do when you are running these events that have been running for many years is to acknowledge how it started. And this may be publicly or this may just be to your team. It's a sort of niche thing. But if you acknowledge that it's been running for many years, it sort of builds to the reputation and the legacy of it, rather than being acting like, and I've seen it happen before, student leaders be like, I've got this brilliant new idea that nobody's thought of and nobody's ever done.
So
it's
original.
Called a color run. And everyone's thinking, we did that last year.
Yeah, like this has been done many times before.
Yeah, so many people just think if they slightly rebrand it, then it's suddenly their own fresh idea and they can take all the glory.
Yeah.
There is importance in acknowledging how it started and acknowledging those people that have been doing it for many years before you. So let's go on to step number three.
So step number three is to change what's necessary. So now that you've figured out, you've understood the purpose of the events and maybe what works and what doesn't, and you've decided what stuff you're going to keep, and now it's time to decide on what to change.
Yeah.
So always just change what's necessary. I feel like sometimes you can go into planning events and traditions and stuff and you're like, okay, let's just change everything. Let's make it a whole new event.
Because you want to be different and unique.
Yeah, we want to be different. Let's do it different this year.
Yes.
And the truth is, the reason that things have been done the way they've been done in the past is probably because they worked at a certain point of time.
Yeah.
Of course, there's going to be things that you need to change, which we will cover in a moment. But I think sometimes it can almost be more work and more effort to change absolutely everything when it's not necessary.
Yeah.
So the truth is, you're not just here to copy and paste. However, you also almost don't want to just change everything either. Change is a huge part of leadership, and it's very healthy to improve and evolve things every year. So you need to understand before you change. So making sure that you're understanding why last year's event worked and how you can start tweaking it. So maybe there's some things you notice worked really well. And if you were at that event, notice things that went really well, but then there's maybe things that you're like, oh, you know what? Like this event really could have used that. Or I would have
like
really liked
some
more competition or some more free prizes or something like that.
Yep.
And you can always tweak those little things because those little tweaks are going to make a huge difference and just make them a lot more successful. So how do you know when to make changes? When and how? So firstly, make sure that you're getting input. So again, having conversations with students, staff, and your team, because it's one thing to be like, oh, I think this needs to be changed. But then it's another thing to take it to the rest of your leadership team, the other students in the school.
That's right.
The teachers.
Yeah, I think I've got an example around that. When I was a student leader, there were teachers versus student sport games that happened every year. And to be honest, they actually were quite successful. But I remember a leadership team came through. I don't know if it was mine or if a different one. I don't want to remember it wrong. But they weren't a group that was specifically jazzed about basketball or volleyball. And so everyone just wanted to throw it aside. And there's some leaders that said, hold on, this is an event that's really successful. Us as a leadership team, we might not like volleyball. We don't like basketball. But the school does. And it's been popping off every year. So as a student leadership team, we don't just change everything because we don't like it. We might need to consider that the school really likes it.
I love that.
And what we actually did is one year we had basketball because there was a big basketball team at our school and there was lots of basketball players, so people would come and watch it. But then years later, there was no real basketball teams, but everybody was obsessed with volleyball.
Yeah.
And so we said, okay, we can do the same event, but what is actually our school really saying they love? Our school loves volleyball at the moment. So volleyball is going to bring in a big crowd.
Yeah.
And so we had a volleyball tournament and that's better. I think these are examples of thinking about what is the greater school actually want.
Yeah, definitely.
That was a sport example, but it could be for something different and getting their input to make changes.
And you're, of course, not going to have the same interests as everyone else in your school. So it's important not to just go, well, I don't like this, so we're going to change that. It's like, well, hang on a second. Let's consider the collective and the school as a broader community. I also think it's really important to communicate the why.
Yes.
So I feel like sometimes people can be a little bit uncomfortable with change, especially if they're traditions.
Yeah.
And maybe even the teachers might find this a little bit more uncomfortable than the students because maybe they've been at the school for years, they've seen how things go. And I think it's really important that you don't just announce the changes, but you explain the reasoning behind the changes.
Mm.
Because like I said, people resist change way less when they understand the purpose behind it.
That's
so good. Having those conversations with other students and the leadership team and the teachers and making sure everyone's on board and understands the why, because then I think you're much more likely to be able to change these things.
That's really good. And we can see there where communicating that why, making those change, you do it thoughtfully.
Yes.
I mean, if you could describe those two things of getting input and explaining the why, it's just about being a thoughtful leader, mm-hmm. about considering the things from the past and moving forward, being selfless, focusing on your school body, and then approaching these events with that excitement. I know for me, I think about one of the most successful events we did in the calendar year in my grade 12 year was a student versus teachers basketball game. And so I was describing before a few different sort of events that I had seen happen when I was in different grades. But this was my year 12. We did student versus teachers basketball game. And in past, it didn't have much success. And so we tried to really bring in some key teachers that had real popularity. Yeah. And to see, like, at our school, we had this sports teacher that everybody loved. And seeing him playing basketball was really exciting. And we actually had this grandstand in our stadium. And so we utilized the grandstand. We tried to get people, like, selling popcorn. Mm. We got, like, MCs. We tried to, like, make it really, like, just add things that add to the atmosphere. We actually saw once, I don't think it was in my year, but there was these student leaders that made a trailer for their basketball team. Like sort of
a video trailer. Yeah,
video.
Oh my gosh.
And they played it at assembly. And it was like the teacher was in the locker room with the basketball team. No, I think it was both locker rooms. And it's a while since I've seen the video, but it's fully cinematic.
That's
and it's
so
like
cool.
Literally like a drama where the teachers are just like in the locker room and they're like, we're going to crush them and like
that
all this stuff.
That is so sick. And I love that.
And then the teacher's out on the court shooting threes, making shots.
Oh
and
my
like
gosh.
Each week it was a different video to lead up to
That's
the game.
So cool.
And it was kind of like they have promos for an NBA game, but it was teachers versus students.
Mm.
And that's just an example of something where I see student leaders come into a year and say, here's a great idea that's happened before at our school. I actually don't think this happened at my school. Now that I think about it, it was an example that I saw happen at another school. And they saw something that had been happening and they said, how do we add our creative touch?
Yeah, I love
We've
that.
Got a guy that's able to edit videos.
Got there.
Fumbled that up. And they made those videos. They really added awesome changes to it to make it really successful.
I love that so much. And there's always like different strengths that people have in your grade, in your year level. I think it's really important to utilize those strengths, you know, and make it your own. That's so fun. I love it.
Yeah. And it's about building on the past, not ripping down the past, but building on it as student leaders and moving forward into a great year.
Yep. I love it.
That's
so
awesome.
Cool.
Well, I hope you were helped out a bit by these different steps and you feel like you can move forward into the year planning some great events.
Mm-hmm.
This has been fun, Kira, chatting through this topic.
So good. Loved
and we'll
it.
See you on the next episode of Student Leadership News.
Bye!
See ya!
Thanks for listening to the Student Leadership News Podcast. Interact with us on social media and follow the news online at studentleadership.news.